Thank you very much, Randy. We have a full board and so many people calling in, anxious to have their questions answered. I want to let you know I'm going to be here for the next hour and a half right here in studio answering your questions. So please be patient with me. I will get to your question. I do want to spend just a moment with a good friend, Joe Dallas, and talk to him about an article that he wrote for the Christian Research Journal that I think is so important for us to discuss right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It actually has a very interesting title. It's titled, You Should Have Put a Ring on It. And again, this is an article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, and it is an article that teaches you how you can witness to those couples that are cohabiting. In other words, living together. This has become an enormous issue in the U.S. and indeed worldwide, and no one better to talk about this issue than Joe Dallas. It's good to have you on the broadcast, Joe.
Always good talking with you, Hank. Thanks for having me.
First of all, the title of the article, talk about that for a moment.
Yes. Last year, around this time, I believe, Hank, there was a very popular pop song called If You Like It, Then You Should Have Put a Ring on It. And it was a song with some angst sung by a woman who was basically saying, if you thought I was worthwhile, you should have married me. And because you didn't, I've gone. And it was interesting to me that even in these times when cohabitation is so common, there still seems to be a heart's cry for commitment and permanence in male-female relationships. And so I thought that title was apt for this article.
Well, talk first of all about the statistics. The statistics are staggering, and they are moving in an alarming direction.
Well, you're correct in that, and really, Hank, some of our younger listeners probably are not aware that when you and I were very young, the idea of living together apart from marriage was considered living in sin. Mm-hmm. And that was a cultural saying, Hank, not a church saying. The culture itself frowned on that. Back in 1960, just for example, there were about 439,000 unmarried couples living together. Now, that may sound like a high number. However, 24 years later, the count went up to 1,988,000. And by 1998, the number of couples living together outside of marriage had reached 4,200,000. And as I mentioned in this article, this is not a secret shameful behavior, at least not shameful in the eyes of the public. It's very common for people to be living together now apart from marriage, whether they intend to marry eventually or not. And so as the culture has shifted further towards acceptance of this, this is an opportunity, and I tried to point this out in the article as well. Hank, the differences in the way we live as believers can become evangelistic tools, because people will logically ask, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you live your life the way that you do? And that is a perfect opportunity for evangelism. And in fact, in the article, I begin by pointing out how when I was engaged to be married, I was in my early 30s working as a waiter to finish my degree. And a number of other waiters and waitresses were talking about living together and the pros and cons of marriage. And because I was engaged at the time, they were all interested in knowing why I wanted to make such a decision. Now, mind you, I was in the minority. Several of them were already living with boyfriends or girlfriends. And I found it gave me a real opportunity not just to explain why I thought marriage was beneficial for everyone involved, but also in a broader sense, what the faith was all about. Because ultimately, when you talk about a biblically based doctrine, you have to start talking about biblical authority as well. Terrific opportunity.
Dr. Joyce Brothers is famous for saying, I wouldn't dream of marrying someone I hadn't lived with. That's like buying shoes you've never tried on. You say exactly the opposite. You say that couples that live together are setting themselves up for a great big fall.
Well, it's not just me that is saying that. There are also surveys that I quote in this article that show that couples who live together before marriage increase their risk of breaking up after marriage. If they live together outside of marriage, there is a higher risk of domestic violence and even physical and sexual abuse. And by and large, couples who cohabitate apart from an official marital commitment tend to be less happy and less committed than those who do marry. So this is not just what we would call a quote-unquote Christian man's opinion. This is something that has been backed up by research that is not Christian-based at all.
Let's get to the bottom line here. Why is the marriage ceremony such a big deal? What difference does it make, particularly as related to the word commitment?
Well, strictly speaking, it is the commitment, not the ceremony, that makes the difference. The ceremony is, of course, mandatory for a marital commitment. But anybody can have a ceremony and remain uncommitted. There is, as I tried to point out in this article, a very basic need we have for oneness with another person in a partnership. But to feel safe in that partnership, we have to know that there is an official commitment based on something bigger than our changeable passions or taste. Because I think any honest married couple will admit that at times they get tired of each other. In some cases, that tiredness extends itself to the point where one or both partners really feels they might be happier if they left the marriage. Now, you think about it, it's very hard to feel emotionally safe with someone, give yourself to someone sexually and emotionally, if you feel as though they may choose to leave you if and when they find you to be boring or disagreeable. We are really safe, though, to be intimate when we know that our relationship is sealed in a covenant that is bigger than ourselves.
And that's the bottom line. Love is not a mere feeling. Love is a commitment. The feelings ebb and flow, but the commitment that we make before God and man is a commitment, as you say, that not only provides a safe environment for a woman in particular, but also has led to the ennoblement of women as opposed to women being regarded as merely chattel or property of men.
And in fact, Jesus pointed that out when he was teaching on marriage, and he was pointing out that it was not allowable for a man to simply put away his wife because she was starting to displease him. And in talking about the permanent commitment of marriage, why his disciples were dismayed and said, good grief, if that's the case, it'd be better if people didn't even get married. And he said, well, with man it is impossible, with God all things are possible. In other words, God knows the need of a man and a woman for a permanent commitment. He also understands the inability of humans in their own strength to keep that commitment, which is why the pursuing of that commitment drives a couple to the cross and on reliance on the power of God. So interestingly enough, the marriage relationship, which is a blessed and an abundant thing, and I can testify to that after 23 plus years of marriage, it also is a relationship that reveals our deepest weaknesses and tests our ability to sustain in a committed relationship and drives us all the more to seek God's power and strength to keep that commitment that he requires.
I love the way the article ends, where you end it with some dots, where you confess that you cannot always love your wife perfectly, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And then you have an opportunity, as you say in the article, to explain. And that's how the article ends. This becomes a springboard or an opportunity to share the grace and love and peace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart and certainly can bring to the relationship of human hearts in marriage. Joe Dallas is the program director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. He's a Christian counseling service to men that deal with sexual addiction, homosexuality, other sexual relational problems. And he is an author and a contributor to the Christian Research Journal. As always, Joe, we appreciate your contribution to the Christian Research Journal. It means the world to me.
Thanks so much, Hank. It's always an honor.
Good to have you on the broadcast. The Christian Research Journal, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Right now, for your gift, we will send you, when you join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, we will send you the next 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you, as well as our way of equipping you. So when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team with your gift, your initial gift today, and then you'll be giving every month, we'll send you 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal. Again, a way for us to say thank you for standing with the ministry, making a difference for time and for eternity.